Good morning, happy Sabbath. Our reading today is from the Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7, 8, and 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. May God bless the reading of his word.
Real quick, I forgot to add Ida. She's not feeling well today. Please keep her in your prayers. She's here with us in spirit. Oscar asked me to pass that on. So.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Well, I'm not sure how to keep warring in my head about how I'm going to begin today. If you spent any time with Bible prophecies and the things that we've been told, we've been talking about since 1844 and before, we've been looking at the rise of the Antichrist power. We've been looking at things like the Bible verses in Revelation chapter 13 that says that to cause all small and rich, I'm misquoting here, but cause everybody to receive a mark on their forehead or on their hands. And if you don't, then you'll receive, you won't be able to buy or sell. And we've been talking about these things, and then for a lot of years, people just make fun of these things, saying, well, it doesn't really matter, or you guys are just crazy. And then, if you really look into these things, and they make sense, okay, and that's just one part of a bigger prophecy. When you see the bigger prophecy that's going on of how all the world events have handed down through us time have been letter perfect, you see this coming along, so then you have no reason, there's no reasonable reason to doubt that these things are going to happen. Now, mix that together with what you're seeing around us. You're seeing the rise of the flock cameras, digital currency. They even have technology on your cell phone now or your computer. So like when you're looking at your Facebook or your ads or your whatever, TikToks or videos or whatever, it's reading your facial expressions. And this technology is good enough now so they can figure out what you actually like and don't like, and can customize the ads based on your facial reactions to what you're seeing on your screens. What we're seeing here, and I have to out myself here. I joined the Tinfoil Hat Club 2 years ago. I'm a full-on card-carrying member of the Tinfoil Hat Club. This is a fun fact, kids. Not every conspiracy theory is true, right? 100% of them cannot be true that 100% of them are right. It cannot. The opposite of that is true. 100% of those cannot be false. Okay. And when you see how this world actually works, and when you see how we're not following the rule of law, and when you look into certain things about what does it mean when you're called a citizen. What does that really mean? Because what you've been told, what you've been sold, and what you've been taught to believe isn't true. The only thing that hasn't changed since the beginning of time till now is the Word of God. The Word of God has been the same. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change. God won't allow it to change. Satan has tried very hard to destroy it. Very hard. And he will not prevail. He will not prevail. So what am I saying here? What I'm watching here is our society building a digital prison around us. And we're doing it step by step by step by step. little here, little there. All these things that are done in the name of safety are also used being weaponized against us. Okay, does that make... should that be the message of my sermon today? No, that should not be the message of the sermon today. But as we're heading towards this, and so people out there, there's optimists out there saying, well, okay, we can stop this. We're going to cut down the cameras. We're going to stop this. I'm going to throw my phone away. And people like say, well, I don't have them internets. I'm safe. Well, do you have a social security number? Do you have a driver's license? Do you have a fishing license? Okay. You're not immune to this. You're in the system. In Illinois, you have to put in your social security number in order to get a fishing license.
Really?
I was floored by that fact. Why? No idea why, but they would need to know your social security number to fish in Illinois state and Illinois waters. And beyond that, who decided that they own the fish? Who decided that they own the deer, they own the water, they own the air, So, anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this conspiracy theory thing, but I can see where we're headed. And we are being deluged daily with all these ideas and all these thoughts and all these things, and we're working on a level of deception that's just phenomenal. Nobody here appreciates the level of deception that we're being served up to us on a daily basis. And at the very core of it, at the very core of all of this, and this is what the important message for today is Satan, so there was Revelation 12, 8, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there place found in any more in heaven. Okay, what happened? Satan decided to do his own thing. He says, you know what? This God's law thing is too oppressive. I'm just going to follow my own thing. And God worked with him. God pleaded with him. He's like, no. And so knowing who God was, serving with him, being at the right hand of the Father, being the worship leader in heaven, he knew God better than pretty much most of the other created beings. He has no excuse. He knows who God is, and he chose his own way anyway. Okay. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so what happened was God couldn't just destroy Satan, just couldn't just kill him, because on the whole, the other created beings would have like, oh no, did you see that? God's mean. He's evil. He just wants to hurt you. Okay, so then God has quite the problem on his hands. He's got to show a universe why his way is better. That's a tough call, man. That's something only God can do, by the way. So what happened is so Satan stood up. He took a third of the angels with him. He ended up being cast down to this earth, and he was looking for new targets. He's like, okay, fine. If I can't win there, I'm going to go get his created beings. Genesis 3. Here we are in the garden. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall eat of the tree of the garden? He tempted her. Did he really say that? Did he really mean that? What he was looking for is to pull, okay, so if I can't get God, I'm going to get the people that he loves. And if I can have a victory here on this earth, and I can establish a kingdom here, and then he's stuck with me, he can't get rid of me now. But there's always saying, dot, 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 but God, right? I should just, dot, 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 but God. Genesis 3:16 tells us this. It says, Adam and Eve, they fell into sin, they fell into temptation. Here they are. Told Adam that he was cursed as the ground for your sakes. Work is good for you. Work is good. It makes you feel better. It's people who don't work, they don't, towards something, they don't have anything. It doesn't help their body or their mind. It's God put work as part of the whole deal. It's for us to be healthy and happy. Okay, he told Eve, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Enmity is the same word that we get the words enemy from. He says, I am going to make Satan your enemy. And so this is actually a blessing. And you say, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between the seed and her seed. I shall bruise thy head, and it shall bruise his heel. It's saying that Christ is going to crush the head of the serpent. But in the process of doing that, he'll be injured himself. But he is going to win that victory. Amen. Okay. But in that promise, he said, I'll put enmity between you and thy seed and her seed. So that means it's actually a blessing. If you decide one day that you're just like, you know what, I'm done with this whole thing. I'm just going to go out into the world. I'm just going to just live. I'm just going to surrender. I'm just going to be part of Satan's kingdom and just kind of go with it. You're never going to be happy. He's your enemy, and you will always be treated as such. He uses you for a little while, and then he'll just take you out. You are not part of his family. Again, Satan was defeated, and again he resorted to deception in a hope of converting his defeat into a victory, to stir up rebellion in the fallen race. He now represented God as an unjust and having permitted man to transgress his law. He didn't just lose the victory. He went and said, fine. He just turned the story to something else. He said, you see what happened to you? God's not fair. If he would, you know, if he really allowed, why is... You see that people come up to you and they say, well, if God really loves us, why did he allow this to happen? Or if he really loves us, why did he allow that to happen? Yeah. And the answer is always because Satan is in the world doing these things, putting it in the name of God. More people have been injured, killed, destroyed from this planet in the name of God, in the name of religion, than they have in any other way. And who is behind that? Not God. I promise you that it's not God. He puts that out there for us. And so, Satan was defeated in heaven. Satan was defeated in the garden, but he didn't give up. And so, sin had found its path, though. Sin had found a path from heaven. It found it in Adam and Eve. And now he's trying to spread this to the world and to the universe here. Isaiah 26 tells us this, 9:10. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. This is God's way. If you follow God's way, you'll learn righteousness. What is righteousness? Right doing. Let favor be shown to the wicked. Yet he say now. Now let favor shown to be wicked, and he will not learn. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. What's that saying there is that people who want to be bad are going to be bad, and you can't be nice to them. You can't compromise with them. You can't do anything with them to make them come to the better side. You can't love them enough to make them do the right thing. It's just not going to happen. Why? Because they have Satan in their heart, and they're just going to follow the wrong path. People who are set to do that, they're going to do that, and we just have to accept that. And so what you have, I don't know if I'm conveying this properly here, but you had people before the flood, Adam and Eve, they fell into sin. Their descendants, Cain, killed Abel, and then the whole society that rose up, building the Tower of Babel, to trying to defy God. God cleanses the earth. Noah builds an ark. He washes it clean. They start over with the family of Noah and the people after the flood. Guess what? They do the same thing. Why? Because we can't bring ourselves to admit that God's way is the best way. And we can't find the strength to do the right thing. The right thing to do is always the right thing to do. All right. And so after the flood, this thing festered for a while until we have in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, where you have Pharaoh, king of Egypt, saying, who is the Lord that I should obey him? That, you know, I know not the Lord, neither will I let him go. This was just a public sentiment that was happening all throughout the world except for the family of Joseph and Jacob and all of his brothers. outside of them, this is what the world was saying. And the thing was, they were alive and well and prospering because God's people were there in that land. And God was prospering them, God's people, and because they were there, he was prospering everyone around them. And that's when they're saying, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Human beings are interesting creatures. We think we know things and we don't know anything. We think that we're smarter than God. We think we're smarter than all the people around us. Wow. The hubris of man is really something. Psalm 105 tells us this. And he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with gladness, and he gave them into the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe the statutes and keep his laws and praise ye the Lord. God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. He did it in a mighty way. They crossed over the Red Sea into Arabia. Pharaoh's armies were wiped out. They had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And actually, they got to a point where God was actually speaking to them on a mountain in a big booming voice. The whole mountain was shaking to the point where they were scared to death. They were terrified. They all kind of pulled away from it. So what more could God do? What more could he do? So this is Exodus chapter 20. This is the Ten Commandments. The movie that you see with the Cecil B. DeMille from 1950, whatever one, that shows Moses coming down and all this. It's a long movie. But I struggle. I watch these movies and I think, wow, I sit there and I pick them apart. Well, that didn't happen. Or that was, they were just guessing on that. You know, like the staff that Moses used to hold up was actually the thing that they tied him up with. And I'm like, well, that's kind of maybe, you know, I don't know. What did he do? This is the Ten Commandments. They show Moses coming down with Ten Commandments. But when you read Exodus 20, when the first reading of the Ten Commandments in their first form of ten in a row, God is actually speaking those commandments from the mountain. He told everybody to sanctify yourselves, prepare yourselves, wash your clothes, and be clean, and tomorrow you guys are going to see something, okay? He told Aaron, he told Moses, he told all these guys, get yourself, prepare you for this day. And so when they did, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. The mountain shook, the lightning flashed, the glory of God was inside the cloud, and they heard this voice like a trumpet that was streaming down the mountain. And they were moved, okay? And what is God's first words to audibly speak to his people? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'm the one who delivered you. Let me introduce yourself. My name is Yahweh. I'd like to shake your hand. Like, you know, welcome to my family. I'm the one who delivered you. God brought them to Sinai, and there with his own voice, he declared the law. This is the thing that they had been forgotten. This is the thing they were slaves. They were in Egypt, and they were so caught up in the culture of things that they just got, all that good got washed away, and they had to unlearn the things that they had learned in Egypt. So what did God do? He took them out of Egypt, took them to the desert, where there was nothing but God, and that they could learn from him. So, just put yourself in the context of what's happening here. Moses brings the people to Mount Sinai. God speaks the Ten Commandments to this people. He speaks all ten of his commandments to the people. They commit themselves, yes, this is what we're going to do. And then Moses says, okay, I'm going to go up on the mountain. I'll be back. And while he's on the mountain, God tells to Moses, says, get ye down. For your people have made a golden calf and they're dancing around it. Not just, we're talking about days, maybe a week or two, I'm not sure, but it wasn't that long. It was that they had heard, thou shalt not have any graven images. A few days, a week, 2 weeks, I don't know. Here they are dancing like wild Indians around a golden calf outside of there. God was communing with Moses. He was showing him basically the future plans. He made his covenant with the people. And then he sent Moses up on the mountain to set the plans, the future plans for the camp of Israel with the sanctuary and how to live and setting up the future government and all that. And in the process of doing that, what did they do? They walked away. They immediately turned to the golden idol.
Wow.
Days from God speaking in this thunderous voice, and they were all terrified. They just said, well, he's gone. I guess he's not coming back. Well, let's find something else to worship now. And we look at this and we think, well, how could they possibly do that? We're smarter than that, right? John, you're smarter than that, right? Are we? I would like to think that I am, but you know what? We're not. There's a Bible verse. I didn't put it in here in the slide here, but it says that at Sinai, when God was speaking these Ten Commandments to the people, the angelic host was there. The universe was witnessing God speaking, God reaching out to his people to trying to bring them from a place where they had disconnected from God. Satan had disconnected them from God because why? Because they let him, first off. And then once you let him, then you just kind of wander off to the place where you become prey. And God says, well, we can't have that. I'm going to go rescue my people. And he did. And he started to bring them back. And so when he started to reintroduce himself to his people, that's when all the angelic hosts were watching. Watching, waiting to see what would happen. Jeremiah 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King, and his wrath, and in his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. I'm bringing up some scary Bible verses here. Usually you get the Jesus loves me sermon. It's just you didn't get that one today. I apologize for that. those mushy ones are kind of fun, but and the nations shall not be able to abide in his indignation. If you think this world has gone crazy, make no mistake that God is not just going to sweep that under the rug and forget about it. He is going to take his wrath and make things right. He's sick to death of it, up to here. If you're following the Bible prophecies, he's got to be coming soon. He has to. Okay, so what is this indignation? This is talking about the second commandment. Now, they were down there dancing before this golden calf. They had violated the second commandment, thou shalt not have any graven images. As we worship things, even if they represent God, it brings down our stature, it brings down our mindset of who God is. So if I think God is in this golden statue, or if I think God is in this picture, or if I think God is in this other thing, that it takes down, no artist can possibly grapple with how big and how wonderful and all the things that are part of God. And so that's why God said, don't make any graven images. God's claim to reverence and worship above the gods of the heathen is based upon the fact that he's the creator, and that to him all other beings owe their existence. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. He's saying, I am the only one. There is no other. All right. Fourth commandment. Do you see where this is going here? He worship. I am. First commandment, to worship God and God only. Second commandment, shall not have any graven images. The third commandment, I think we skipped over here, but it was, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And here we are, fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to holy. God is the creator of all things, not a created thing. God, did you hear that? God is the creator of all things and not a created thing. The Sabbath is a memorial of his creative power. Points to him as the maker of the heavens and the earth. Hence, is a constant witness to his existence and a reminder of his greatness, his wisdom, and his love. Had the Sabbath always been sacredly observed, there could never have been an atheist or an idolater. It's quite a statement there. So what is Satan doing now? He's obliterating the Sabbath. He's instituting false Sabbaths in different religions on different days. Why? Because God is the one that on the seventh day God rested, he blessed it, and he sanctified it, and he made it holy. This is a day for us to remember that God is our creator, and that once we never forget that fact, we won't take our eyes off of him. And we have a weekly reminder of that. So if I stop reminding myself that he's the creator, my brain is not wired well enough that sooner or later I'm going to forget. The Sabbath was there at Genesis, it was there in Exodus, and it's there in Revelation at the very end. It's there in Isaiah where it talks about from one new moon and one Sabbath to another, we shall worship the Lord. It's just talking about the end of time when sin has been done away with and no more. Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord giveth thee. And the interesting thing that I read about this one was that if we, look, some families aren't that great. Just going to say, I'm just going to put that out there. Sometimes moms and dads don't do that good of a job. Okay, but what I am saying here is that if I'm willing to be hostile towards my mother and father, I'm probably not going to be all that reverent towards God. Just the tendency is there. That's the gist I'm getting from this. Like I said, not all families are perfect, but the message is there that when we show respect and love for the people who gave us life, we're showing love and respect for the people. We're showing love and respect for God. Okay. Maybe some boundaries need to be set. I don't know. But God needs to work that all out. John 8:44 tells us this. This is talking about Satan. Now, he was a murderer from the beginning. You know what commandment that was? Thou shalt not kill you. There you go. Satan has found a million different ways to kill people, whether it's through war, abortion, hatred. There's millions of ways that killing happens on this earth, and it's done for political gain, for financial gain, for hatred reasons, and you know where it all comes from? Every single one of those comes from the father, Satan, who's the god of this earth. War sends young men and boys to their early death, maybe knowing Christ, maybe not knowing Christ. Killing people they've never met in countries they've never been to, they know nothing about until they show up there in their country. And then we can go on and on and on about the murder rates in Chicago and all that kind of stuff. It was never part of God's plan, and he never wanted it from the beginning. That's why he tells us don't kill. It's actually, the commandment is actually thou shalt not commit murder. So there is a time to kill, but I'm not smart enough to know when that is, and so I have no intention of doing that. Just FYI. Okay. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This one here is at the very fabric of society. Moms and dads working together as a team, raising children, is what God intended from the beginning. And when we do that, we give glory to God through our lives. This is the way God set us up so that I'm not alone, Christy, my wife's not alone, the kids aren't alone. Together we have a family unit that works together, and that's what God intended from the beginning. And so, this goes beyond. I mean, when you talk about some of those things, Jesus said that even to look upon a lady with lust of the eye, you've committed adultery. Like, wow. And then there's the next commandment that I didn't put in here was thou shalt not covet. Coveting is was when you have something and I don't, and I really want that, and I'm willing to do whatever it is to get that, or to get something like that. It's to take what God didn't intend for me to have to begin with. Maybe he did, maybe it's for later on, I don't know. But to covet is to wish for things that you don't have, to look at others and to be jealous. Yeah. God wants us to grow where we're planted. God wants us to be happy with what he's given us. And as you become a faithful steward with what he's given you, he's going to give you more. But with that more comes more responsibilities. Just hold on to that thought there. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This even goes into the idea of polygamy. God never intended for men to be married to 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 wives. I don't know what Solomon was thinking in the book. In the Bible, it says he had like 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was insane. Yeah. Never would I ever do such a thing. I love my wife dearly. I don't want 2, 3, 5, 7. That was, the nightmares of that would be just. I'm sure she's the only. She's not sure about the one. I don't know. No. But this whole idea of one man, one woman together to raise a family, that was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. And when Satan interrupts God's plan for you that was revealed through his law, then things go sideways. We wonder why our lives fall apart and become problems here and there. It's because we're not listening and because we're doing things that was never intended. It's like with the little kid says, I'm going to go help daddy. I'm going to go put, and he can take the garden hose and they fill up the car gas tank with water. I'm going to help fill up the car. Okay. The intention was there. The intention was good, but that's not how the car works. It's not going to be good for anybody. That's just not how it works. So at the very core of this thing, Satan has waged a war with God and it's over his law, and that's what's going to be at the end of time. God's dealing with rebellion will result in fully unmasking the work that has so long been carried out undercover. This deception that's going on is going to be pulled off. The veil is going to be pulled off. And I guarantee you, even those who are starting to see through down the rabbit hole and see what's happening underneath with all the world people and all the politicians and the movie stars and all the things, the rumblings that we're hearing about the Epstein files and all that stuff, you haven't seen anything yet. And you're going to be horrified. Horrified. God's dealings with rebellion result in the full unmasking of the work that has so long been carried undercover. The results of Satan's rule, the fruits of setting aside the divine statue, will be laid open to the view of all who created intelligence. Every creature in the universe is going to see this, that the law of God will stand fully vindicated. What's coming? I'll try to go quickly. I know we're after time here. What's coming? For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. All the things that have been done in secret will be secret no more. You think you got away with something? You didn't. What's coming? But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. A refiner is somebody who takes the metal and puts it into a pot, and they turn the fire up until the metal melts. And all the bad parts of the dross and the junk that's in the metal rises up to the top, and they take a scoop, and they scoop it off there. They take the dross and flick it to the side. God is going to refine his people like fire, with fire. I mean, trouble? Probably. but that's when you purify. When people are working with gold, the question is put up, well, how do the apprentice ask the master, how do I know when it's time to, when the gold is ready to be poured? And he says, you skim it, you take the stuff out until you can see your face in the reflection. God wants to see his face in the reflection in the refiner's thing that's coming out. Okay. The people of Israel, because of their sinfulness, were forbidden to approach the mountain when God was descended upon it. So, when God was on the mountain, they were forbidden to come to the mountain. Why? Because the glory of God would have killed them. Okay. And if such manifestations of his power mark the place chosen for the proclamation of God's law, listen to this now, how terrible must be his tribunal when he comes for the execution of these sacred statutes. How will those who have been trampled upon his authority endure his glory in the great day of final retribution? What's coming? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. What's coming? For the Son of Man, I just read that one. Okay. He shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall all be gathered, all nations. The white throne judgment is going to happen. This is something we don't hear about in church very often. We went to Jesus Loves You sermon, right? This is, you didn't get that one today, kids. I'm sorry. But he shall sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him all shall be gathered, all nations. So what's coming? Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him. God is not pleased with the way things are going in the world, and he's going to make an end of it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. All the things that you've been working for and storing in your house and all that, they're not, you're not taking them with you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The earth shook. The heavens also dropped at its presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of the God of Israel. Amid the most terrific convulsions of nature, the voice of God, like a trumpet, was heard like from a cloud. The mountain was shaken from base to summit, and the host of Israel, pale and trembling with terror, lay upon their faces upon the earth. This is the New Testament here, Hebrews 12, whose voice shook the earth, but now hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but heaven as well. God is about to do something very, very wonderful. All the sin and death and destruction and things that have happened in this place, they're going to be forgiven. They're going to be cleansed. And the sins that were asked for forgiveness for were going to be laid back on Satan's head, and he's going to perish in the lake of fire. This has been promised to us, and we just got to stay faithful to this end. Be faithful to the fact that God has called us to this law that has never changed, is never going to change, and there's 10 simple rules to live by. You can do those. Good. So what's coming? Therefore prophesy thou against them that these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation, and he shall mightily roar upon his habitation, and he shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against the inhabitants of the earth. And the Lord shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. This world is going to get really crazy before Jesus comes again. But he says, I will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. That's you. Okay. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and it shall not rise again. Satan's kingdom will not rise again. Therefore shall the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. When Moses came from the divine presence in the mount where he had received the tables of the testimony, guilty Israel could not endure the light that glorified his countenance, How much less can a transgression look upon the Son of God when he shall appear in the glory of his Father? This is a promise. This is yet to happen. And the kings of the earth, you're talking about the business people, the kings, the politicians, all the people, the rulers of this earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the day, great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This is a cool Bible verse here. In that day shall a man cast his idols of silver and gold, idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats. How well can moles and bats see? Moles are blind. They have no eyes. Bats, they see by their sound. They don't see very good at all. To go into the clefts and to the rocks and the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth terribly. Then it will be seen that Satan's rebellion against God has resulted in ruin to himself and all that chose to become his subjects. I'm going quick here, guys. I'm sorry. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. So, what is the end of Satan and his followers? Behold, the day that cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud yea shall do wickedly, shall be stubble, and that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall neither leave them root nor branch. God is going to cleanse this earth with fire. He's going to destroy sin. He's going to destroy Satan and his angels. Satan, the root of every sin and all evil workers are his, for his branches shall be utterly cut off, and the end shall be made of sin with all the woe and ruin that have resulted from it, that will not linger, it will not continue into the new earth. Thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put on their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. O thou hast destroyed cities, the memorials perish with them. So what hope do we have? I don't want to end on a sad note here, right? Can you see that God really means what he says here? That scriptures that we just went through have been in the Bible for 2,000 years, maybe, and some of them for 4,000 to 6,000 years, and we don't read them very often. You don't hear them publicly very often, okay? But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. God will be your banner, your strength. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare righteousness, for God is judge himself. Jesus is our prosecuting attorney and our defense attorney and the judge. I think you're going to be okay. Right? What hope do we have? Okay. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So God says, Revelation says he's going to wipe away every tear. We're going to have a chance to see why this happened and why that didn't, and why God works, how God worked it all out. We get to judge that. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of my peace that be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on you. So the sacred statutes which Satan has hated and sought to destroy will be honored throughout a sinless universe. Isaiah 61, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. He's going to recreate this earth new with all the weird things that are happening in the planet right now, with all the murders, the lies, the deceptions, and this digital prison that's being built around us right now. It won't be there at all. We live in it. But real... Can you hear me, Carmen? Real freedom. Okay, so can you see that Satan is waging a war against God's law? It started at the beginning. It's been all the way through here, and it's starting to culminate into a head, and we're going to see this thing that's being built around us, God's going to expose it for what it is and then destroy it. Stay faithful, my friends. When is the time to repent? Yeah. When is the time to take holiness seriously? Amen. All right. I'm so sorry. This is the longest thing, the longest one I've ever had, John. I apologize, but just so deeply moved by what I found in this. You can't break this up, and it has to be said. This, what you're here today, has to be said. It has to be said. And we need to share that.